The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's too much to handle, too exciting to explain, and too weird to share with your Goldfish Tuesday as we push forward to draw closer to the Lord, even if it means that our own faults are exposed because we want to be more like Jesus. First up, happy, happy, happy. As the one who delights in the commands of the Lord finds out that no matter what they find out, it's all, ready? Official theological term, okie dokie. There you go. Next, how crazy would a believer have to be to give up everything in order to please the Lord? How crazy would a believer have to be to not give up everything in order to please the Lord? Get it? And then finally, why does the modern culture and the entertainment industry in America continually try, but fail, to disprove that the Bible is true? Because the scriptures bring accountability to everyone, whether they're famous or not.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Wait till you hear what happened today. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can reach out to us. You can call us 972-445-0770. That's the way you would call in. And then Terrific T would answer the phone. And she, just as gentle as can be, turn you over to me, where then you're on your own. Okay? That's how the first one works. The second one, you can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483 for those that want to text. Also, you can send us a singing telegram. I think we'd buy into that. That would be all right. If you have an answer to a trivia question, you want to send a singing telegram. It's just that you have a very tight time frame because the show is only an hour. Keep in mind, it can be for praise reports that you can communicate with us. It can be prayer requests. It can be pop questions. It can be anything that's going on that's just kind of on your mind. That part's okay. Let's start off with the first trivia question. Always fun to do. Get ready for those texters. Get ready. Get your fingers ready. For those callers, get ready. Get ready. Okay. For somebody who's sending us a singing telegram, you probably want to tell us because they're not getting in the studio. Here it is. The year of Jubilee comes around how often for the Israelites? The year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee. Okay. Comes around how often for the Israelites? There's the question. Okay, folks, keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio, as you are well testified and have seen. It is just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. You know, we're on a nice, tight budget. We still get our stuff done, right? That's right. All right. DNA, you up for that? All right. DNA, here we go. One of the most important things is that we have discovered on this show prophetically is that every day there is something called news. Why, it could be weather. It could be political. It could be anything. As we have said, maybe the abominable snowman will come down and throw, you know, snowballs at people. We don't know. But the news will keep coming. Doesn't matter what the news is. And we're really going to talk about that in the very first segment. The bottom line is it's DNA that Christians live by, and I'm going to have to do the DNA. Can you still do it? Can you still pull it off? DNA is going to be D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. N, never be ashamed. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve! No matter what happens, what you come across, what you encounter, you should always draw closer to the Lord daily, never be ashamed, and always be ready to serve. All right, looks like we have somebody on our trivia question. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Jean.
Hi, Jean. How are you?
Fine.
Okay, good to hear your voice. Glad you're calling in on this one. This is a fun one. The year of Jubilee comes around. How often? So it's the big one. How often for the Israelites?
Is it every 50 years?
That is correct. You are right. Leviticus 25, 10, and 11. Every 50 years, God told Israel, do a reset. Hit the reset button. We're starting over. It's like, that's just a good piece of advice in life, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. Excellent job. Thank you. You hit it right on the head, right off the bat. Great job.
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
God bless. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. That's the way to start it. Now, you think about the wisdom of that. So this is not just people. This is the nation. Every 50 years, reset. Just think, it's like every once in a while you got to reset your television, your computer. You just got to go, power down, reset. Got to start the whole thing over because it's getting weird on me. I got something like that coming up. I'll tell you about in just a second. I think we've covered everything. We're going right into the first element. It's Psalm 112. If you don't know this psalm, I need you to know this psalm. Psalm 112, verse 7. We were just talking about news and the abominable snowman and all the different things that are coming. Don't forget, weather will be news every single day. So no matter what, there's news. But verse 7 says, he will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord. Now, before we get into the exegesis on this, I want to break it back up to the beginning part. It says, hallelujah, happy is the man who fears the Lord and takes great delight in his commands. Happy. You're looking for some happiness, you should be appreciative of the commands and the teachings that God has brought into our lives that we can rejoice in. The law of the Lord is perfect, able to restore the soul. That's Psalm 19, verse 9. And so it's like, yes, the Lord's word is a restoration process for you and I. In verse 4 on Psalm 112, it says, light shines in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, compassionate, and righteous. Very cool. Right? And then verse 7, he will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord. I have a message for you. No matter what the news is, if we were steadfast in the Lord, if our minds were steadfast in the Lord, we would not be afraid if bad news comes. Now what happens is, and let's be honest, I mean, you got to have that honesty moment in Christianity and in life, you get a phone call from somebody you rarely get a phone call from, family member or whatever, and you're thinking, uh-oh. It's like the first thing you think. And that's because there's so much yuck going on, it's easy to look at stuff through yuck. It's just an easy process. But the truth of the matter is the scripture says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusts in thee. When we have a focus on the Lord and then bad news comes down the alley, we don't have to freak out. We can have a heart that's confident, trusting, resting in the Lord. Remember we talked about what that means in Psalm 37, where it says it talks about trusting in the Lord, it talks about delighting in the Lord, it talks about committing to the Lord, and then it talks about resting in the Lord, and that Hebrew word for rest is to be dumb. And it's like sometimes, I don't know, yeah, God's just going to have to explain it. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not sure what the next step is. I don't know what's around the corner. I just know him who is around the corner. And verse 8 of that same Psalm 112 says, his heart is assured. He will not fear. And one of the things that happens is there's a terrible sense of fear amongst people. And now through the media, which is completely void of God, there's a promotion of fear. And it's like, what are you people doing? It's like you have to recognize that scripture is absolutely clear that faith enables us to prevail against. And when you look at a circumstance, the scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because if we walk by sight, we walk by our own understanding, which is extremely limited, never has all the information, and then we formulate opinions that are based on portions of truth, portions of reality, and it turns out to be wrong. That's why the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your paths. Why? Because if you lean on your own understanding, there's a clock I want to sell you. Every hour it comes out and the thing goes cuckoo, 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 because it's like that's the problem. Because we look at it and we think we understand all the nuances of it and we evaluate it and throw it there. And then the Lord's like going, not even close. No, no, not even, no, 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 that's not, no, no, we're not doing that. No. And that's why if we have a confidence or a trust in the Lord, if we have a focus on the Lord, if we are fixed with our eyes on Jesus, we don't have to be afraid of news that comes down that's like, oh, look, this happened. It's like, yeah, well, let's just see what God does. In fact, I wish I could somehow tattoo that on the inside of my brain. Yeah, let's see what God does. Because that would be the ultimate response in every circumstance that looks like it's negative. That looks like it's hard. And even if you go through hard trials, I mean, the greatest part about it is God will bring you through it. He brings you through deep water, so it doesn't matter how deep it is, the Lord will get you through it. But the idea to be able to see and to say and to understand and to believe, hey, God's active here. He didn't go take a trip to Pluto. He's not visiting the, you know, Omega star system or the Alpha Centauri. He's not over there checking out the little twinkles. He's not sitting there singing little songs, twinkle, twinkle, little star. He is active in your life. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. Jesus is in your heart by faith, and God the Father is on the throne, and there's nothing going on that's surprising God at all. In America or anywhere else. And anybody that teaches otherwise doesn't know the Bible from a hole in the ground. Boy, Dave. Well, I mean, just read Daniel 4. I mean, Daniel 3, 4, and 5. I mean, look at, if you challenge God, he'll turn you into a cow. That just doesn't seem, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like the brilliant plan. I don't want to be a cow. I want to trust the Lord. I don't want to be afraid of bad news. I want to have a heart that's full of assurance. I don't want to be afraid of any of that. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to take delight in his great commands and his great words. Do I do it perfect? No. But I know what I got to do. And with his help, I can get it done. Right? Get her done. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, he reached down and saved me.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. Or it doesn't matter if your translation says master. Rabbi. It doesn't care. She said, Mary. She responded, Master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along in your journey. Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley, At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it's kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding of his depth of love.
You're here when I need you the most.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, let's get the next trivia question on the board. I got a lot to cover today, as is usual. See, this is why an hour just killing me. All right, here it is. Which Bible person? All right, let me rephrase that. Which person in the Bible? Said, I'm going to do the King James version, okay? Which person in the Bible said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? That's the King James's versioneth. I hope you liketh it, iteth. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Who said that? Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? See, if you know that one, you're welcome to text in. We got people calling already. Don't forget our text in number, 214-210-8483. And there is the phone. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hey, brother. What's happening?
Nothing. I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Oh, I got to tell you, you guys got to pray for me because my you know they have the little, like, cars and they have those keys. They're like little fobs or whatever, and then you push it and it's supposed to unlock your door and help you start your car and stuff. My battery died just as I got to the studio. So in about 45 minutes, I might need a lot of prayer so that I'm not speaking in a third tongue. So just be prepared for me because I got that going on. So I'm glad you actually brought that up because I need the audience praying. All right, my brother, we have a straightforward King James version, okay? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Who said that?
Felix.
Ah, was it Felix or was it the king?
Oh, wait a minute.
That's right. That's all right. I'm trying to give you a good clue here.
I can't believe I missed that.
That's okay. Okay. What do you do when you grab something?
It wasn't a gripper, was it?
Yes, that is it. You got it. There it is. Ding, ding. King Agrippa, Acts 26:27-28. Good. There it is. See, you got it. You were right there. It was for Felix, for that process that they were going through, and Agrippa was the one who said, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. Although I do think there was an accent, so it might have been more like, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. You know, kind of like that. That's where I'm going to go with. Good job, Ronnie. All right. You keep
it
up, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
All right. So... I love it. Ronnie calls in. So we have people. Good job on Eric. Eric running 2 for 2. He's going for the four. You know, if the three is the triple crown, what is the four? It's the quad. He's going for the quad. Okay, we'll see if that happens. As we have a few other questions to go down that direction. And by the way, on that thing on the key with the car and stuff, I'm serious. I got here, and then my key was having a really hard time, and then I got out of the car, and I closed the door, and I went ding, 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 and it didn't make any noise. So I've become a key expert in the last hour, just to let you know. All right, let's go. This is a very challenging portion of word. I do not want you to take this under legalism. I do not want you to listen to this and think that God is telling you to do something super bizarre. I think what you need to be aware of is when you engage with Scripture, whether you're hearing it from somebody like myself, whether you're hearing it from a pastor who's teaching, your pastor specifically, some other teachers in the kingdom of God, you know, you have to make sure that the applications that are being presented to you are subject to your engagement between you and the Lord. Don't let anybody say some of this stuff and then say, therefore, do this for me or do this for me. Don't. That's not how that works. You get the Word of God, you process it, you make it a part of your meditation, you bring it into your life, and you utilize it, and you bring it before the Lord and ask Him to help you engage with it. That's what you do. The reason I said that is because of the text that we're going to discover right now. 1 Kings 17, 11 through 13 is the story, if you are familiar, that Elijah had with the woman who was kind of at the end of her rope and end of life. And here's the story. As she was going to get her meal, Elijah called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread. Only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare it for me and my son that we may eat it and then die." Now, there are many things in Scripture, and many of them are very encouraging. That statement right there is not one of them. As the story stands there, essentially, Elijah says to this woman, "Bring me bread." And she responds, "We're at the end of life here. There's a famine and none of it's going good. And we're out and we've got no extra provisions." And, you know, that's not like a cheery moment. I don't want people to get that weird. You know, this is not positive anything. This is a bummer. I mean, she's like, "This is it, dude. We got one meal left, and then we're out. We're tapped." But the prophet, remember, when God has a prophet do something like this, there's stuff happening. There's the Holy Spirit's in action, right? And so even though he's saying, "Bring me bread," and she replies, "Okay, well, you know, I'm going to do that, but I don't got anything left." He's just like, "Yeah, bring it anyway." It's just like you're thinking, in the natural, you're thinking, "Come here so I can slap you." I mean, it's like you can't believe that he would say that. But she was going to give to the Lord first. Because even, let me explain to you, even if she was going to die, she was still going to face God. Now look at what happens when a person does something that's absolutely nutty and does it in honor to God. Now, when I say nutty, I'm not talking about illegal or anything. I mean, it's just a total selfless act. Verse 15, "She went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days, and the bowl of flour was not exhausted, neither did the jar of oil become empty." She took her flour and her oil, and she basically gave it as an offering to the Lord and said, "It's the best I got. It's all I got. That's literally all I have." And the Lord said, "Great, you're never going to run out ever your entire life. I'm going to cover you." And why? Because she gave it unto the Lord. And there's that old great hymn. I think most of you know it. You can't beat God-giving, no matter how hard you try. The reality check is you're never going to outgive God. And I don't say that for this ministry at all. Sure, we need funds. I think every ministry needs funds. Every ministry needs funds. Every ministry needs prayer. But you need to settle your account with the Lord. And if the Lord says to you, "Give," then you do it. I've been in situations where I was kind of at the end, and I've given and then received a blessing. Now, is that the only reason that I got the blessing? I don't know. I just know I was supposed to give, so I gave and was just going to trust the Lord for the rest of it. And sometimes it's just like it happens right away. And other times I've given and nothing. And you know what? That's not up to me to tell God when to bless me or when to pour it out. But he promises he'll cover me. And if you don't think he promises that he'll cover you, you're not reading the word. He'll cover you. No matter if it's to get you between here and start your eternity dancing on streets of gold or however it is, God will cover you. And the reason that God will cover you is because he loves you. And we become so attached to the things of this earth and so attached by what we think is necessary when the Lord knows what is truly necessary. And sometimes breaking that bondage to the things that we think are necessary is an amazing element. I got a message for you that you'll just hate me for. It's the lost art of fasting. That's not in this situation, and I don't want you to think it is. But people don't fast because it's like, no way, no way. Go without food for God, no way. And every fast I've ever gone on, the Lord has revealed something to me. It's like, I should be doing that all the time. But I'm selfish. It's like, and I like cheeseburgers. And so it becomes really hard because in this society, there's so much food. I mean, there's just so much. My point in this whole premise, though, is that she gave up the very last of what she had and entrusted it to God. And I don't think she had the stellar, I don't think she had the dancing with the hat on and the cane and the tap shoes attitude. She's like, hey, we're going to die. But okay, here you go. And that reminds me of Peter when he did the thing with the fish, when he's like, they fished all night and nothing happened. And Jesus goes, throw out your nets. And he's like, you know, we've been fishing all night. Not a lot happening here, but because you say so. And then threw the nets out. And then what happened? The fish, there were so many fish, they couldn't contain it. Sometimes it's at the very end of the very end of the very end. And that's when it's all going to begin. Isn't that an amazing thought? Take this premise. This will just. If you just think this through, the Lord makes a promise that when we come to an end of ourselves, then that's when we would actually find life. In other words, when we stop with we at the center, me at the center, you at the center of your life, when we stop doing that and make Jesus the center, then we find ourselves. The way that you find your life is you lose your life before the Lord, and then he shows you life. The way that you get things from God, ironically, is to believe ahead of time, and then they're provided. It's not difficult to believe once they're provided. The way that you receive from the Lord is you give. The way that you see is you believe. The way that you live is you die. It's all the opposite stuff. It's like Bizarro World in the Superman comics. But he promises if you make him your life, he'll cover you. And there is nothing more important for our walk than to know that God has us covered. It is the safest place to live. Okay? All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind, destroying
everyone and everything we find. He's the heart. The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement.
and what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
An important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God, return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place, solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Before we get to the trivia, I will let you know I keep you guys updated on my schooling stuff because I just think it's a good idea that you should know what's going on. So that if I lose my mind on the show, you'll go, well, we understand why. So I've finished my Hebrew class. I took the test yesterday. I did terrible. I did not bad on the transliteration part, but on the textbook part, I just, I don't know. I'm just language is just my least favorite thing in the universe. Anyway, so I'm just telling you that ahead of time. That does not mean we're not going to do the Hebrew words like the wonderful lady that called in. We are going to be doing Hebrew words and then translations on the show. I haven't quite figured out how to start that or we're going to do that, but I'm telling you ahead of time, we are doing that. I will give you as much info as I can. I just cannot figure out how, if I tell you what the Hebrew word is and what it means and how it sounds, I still can't tell you what the letters are or what the symbols are in the Hebrew. So I was just kind of thinking that through. This is kind of like the way my mind thinks. Like, well, I want to give you as much as I can. So anyway, let's go to our next trivia question. This is a classic, straightforward, nothing weird. For everybody that's against a wall, don't go to heaven. That's all I'm saying. Don't get mad at me. There's a wall in heaven. Don't get mad at me. Why? If there's a wall in heaven, I don't want to go. Don't worry. You're not. Anyway, what were the gates? Will be the gates of the holy city? What are they made of? What are the gates made of? The gates. Okay, see the gates? So you got a wall, and then you have gates. And so the gates are made of something, right? Oh, I did forget to do the website, didn't I? Oh, yeah. All right, so we got somebody calling in, so I'm going to give them a little extra time for there. Eric on top of that. Bet you didn't look that up. Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Al. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I had to beat Ronnie in before he called.
It's so funny. Ronnie, you could just tell he's right there.
Yeah. I love him it. And Van, and you got to be quick.
Yeah. Yeah,
sometimes
you do.
When I'm driving down the highway, I can't get on the phone as quick as they can.
No, but. Yeah, you got it, and you got to be careful because I never want anybody to do anything to get in too soon. And I know that people are like, call. It's like, no, take your time. Don't freak out. All right, so we have some interest. It's an interesting element because this city that's coming to us, the New Jerusalem, the city, the pictures that we're getting of the afterlife, so to speak, which are certainly beyond what we can really comprehend, even if they're exactly literal, they're beyond our comprehension. question because we didn't see the picture. So the idea is that this is a wall that's got all these different gates. What are the gates made of?
I want to say they're made out of pearls.
That is correct! You are right! Go ahead.
And the streets are gold?
Correct. The asphalt is gold. That's right.
It's going to be amazing.
Going to be amazing. And I've always wondered about that because I've purchased very only one or two times in a lifetime, but purchased pearls like as a gift, right? And you can never figure out how's that little pea going to be a gate? I mean, how does that happen?
It's one big clam.
It's one.
Let me tell you that.
That's it right there. It's the universe's largest clams. There's 12 of them.
That's right.
That's so funny. That is excellent. Excellent job, my brother. Thank you so much for doing that. Great work.
All right, have a good day.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. It's a huge clam. Oh, my goodness. That is so funny. All right, let's cover history and let's get into the – I'm going to switch the lessons around. That'll make it easier, so don't get mad at me. History. We got a history song?
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
By the way, I missed the website twice, right? Right? I missed at least once, right?
Yeah, I think you did. I think on the second one we missed.
Yeah, I'm just...
It's okay. I missed it too.
It's Tis Monday. It's Tis Monday.
It's Tis Monday.
It's Tis Monday. That's the day it is. All right. For those that want to know...
This is a classic.
It's Skeptics Day. Yeah, I don't believe them. Get it? It's Skeptics Day. I don't believe them. Thank you very much. Just remember, we're live twice on Saturday, dark on Mondays. Okay. National Face Your Fears Day. I think that's good. I think people should. I'm very, very, very disappointed in our mass communication, mass media, people telling people to be afraid. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, could you imagine that attitude in World War II when they were fighting the Germans? I mean, that's just, it's kind of shameful. Today is Silly Sayings Day. Silly Sayings Day. In the next segment, I'm going to talk to you about bazinga. I do happen to like that phrase, bazinga, but I'll explain why it's a problem. It's a Good Samaritan Day, which means that you should be looking out. Now, this should be every day, but you should be looking out for other people and not just thinking of yourself and looking to take care of other people. It's also National M&M Day. That's a winner, right? I mean, I like M&Ms. Do you like M&Ms or eh? Are they... We got that. What?
I like M&M's. I like all the flavors except for like peanut. I think is it the peanut butter one or the pretzel? Either or, I love every single type.
So you like the M&M's?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like them. You know, it's also National Yorkshire Pudding Day, which is an English dish which I've had once or twice. Not a huge fan, you know. But
what
I guess,
is it like? What's in it?
It's a doughy roll, and it's got like eggs, flour, milk, water, salt, and then it's got roast beef, or it's got a rib, and it's like made in a cake. But it just I guess it's kind of like a pot pie is kind of the way to think of it.
I was
going to
go with shepherd's pie.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. All I remember is that Friends episode where the girl took all the different ingredients and put them all in one thing, and then Joey ate it and thought it was great.
I want to try that one day.
Okay. I just think that's bizarre. I'll just leave that alone. First cell phone networks launched in Chicago on this day in 1983, and in 1945. Or, I'm sorry, 1845, Texans vote to become a United States state. So for us in Texas, yay. And now if the rest of the country would stop being Looney Tunes, that would be awesome. All right. I want to stick around with this First Kings element, and there is something I want to talk about. This is a shorter teaching. The next one will be a longer teaching. This is out of 1 Kings 17 through 21. It came about after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe, there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I had to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death?" And he said to her, give me your son. And he took him from her bosom and carried him into the upper room where he was living and laid him on his own bed. He called to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you brought calamity to the widow with whom I'm staying by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself on the child three times and called on the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray to you, let this child's life return to him. Now, we know how the story ends. The son sneezes seven times. We did have our caller mention, did he sneeze in the prophet's face? Good question. Don't know. There's a grieving woman. I think her statement is one of the great statements, and I've actually been in this situation. I know it sounds bizarre, but I have been in this situation. And she just said, what, you trying to tell me that I'm a sinner? I know I'm a sinner. I know I have folly. I know I'm messed up. In other words, some people really recognize, yeah, I'm a mess. I'm God's mess, but I'm a mess. And I think that's a right attitude to be able to recognize. Yeah, I mean, I've got some things that I'm working out. I'm standing in justification, working through sanctification, and looking forward to glorification. That's my life. But she knows her folly. She knows what's wrong. And she's mad because, like, are you taking this out on my kid? And that's that very parental defensive. You know, you hate it when something happens to your kids. It doesn't matter. Even if your kid is rebellious, you don't want anything bad to ever happen to them. You just want them to know Jesus so well that, you know, that's where they find all their strength, besides needing you. I mean, that's part of the parenting process. But what I want you to catch is what Elijah did. And the reason I want you to catch it is so that you will not beat yourself up. Three times he called to the Lord. Now, this is what I want you to catch. Not once, not twice, but three times. He was Elijah. This was not somebody that was to be trifled with. This is somebody very powerful in the kingdom of God. This is what we call a power prophet. Elijah and Elisha were like miracle after miracle. It's like, whoa, don't be messing with those guys. Even this powerful man of God had to pray multiple times for a miracle. And that's what I want you to get. It's not unusual to have to petition and petition and petition. And to be honest, I don't think, this is just my off the top of my head theology, I don't think we actually know all the warfare that goes on, all of the stuff that takes place in the invisible world. But there is this requirement by Jesus Christ that if we are going to pray and pray successfully, that there has to be persistence attached to it. And here you get to see a prophet, a man of God, whom you would think if he just said, you know, happen, it happens. But you know what? He had to pray three times. And I want you to catch that, because when you're in a spiritual encounter and you're in, you know, walking with the Lord and you're trying to do these things and get these things right and say these things right and put it all together and you're looking for the miracle to happen, it doesn't always happen just when you go, oh, I snap my fingers, everything should be done. There's something very arrogant about that, actually. We need to pursue and petition. Jesus didn't say pray once and then don't pray anymore. He said pray daily. And that's for forgiveness, for your needs, for God's kingdom to come, for all of it, for deliverance from the evil one, all of it. And we're supposed to continually pray, and we got to get past this attitude that if we pray multiple times, we're lacking faith. What God wants to see is persistence in prayer. And if it took the prophet, that prophet, three times, well, then you just keep praying until you get the answer. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Well, our amps are louder. Because you see, ours, normally an amp goes from 1 to 10, see? But ours, they go to 11, see? So ours are one more. They're louder. See? So you turn them all the way to 11. All the way up. They're louder.
I have saved the best for the last. Because I know almost what I am doing. But not quite.
The David Spoon Experience.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, let's offer up the last trivia question. Keep in mind, if you guys need prayer, I mean, I've got people praying for me. I got Alden, like, goes on Facebook and, reaches out to me. People that need prayer, if you need it, let us know. If we can put you in any kind of prayer, it's not like a prayer chain. I just don't like that word. It's just, people that pray. People that pray. PTP. People that pray. And so if you've got some needs or something, don't hesitate. We'll do our best. We'll bring it before the Lord. You may as well have people joining you in your struggle. That's really how it should be. All right. Now, I'm not going to forget the website this time, but let me do the trivia. The trivia question is, what is the name of the Bible person who was called, watch this, Mighty in the Scriptures? Mighty in the Scriptures. Somebody was called that. Mighty in the Scriptures. Okay. While you guys are figuring that out, don't forget HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay. And then already? Wow. Okay, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie. What's going on, brother?
Stuck in traffic.
That is never good. But you should praise the Lord because you're not in California, and that would be every trip you ever take on any freeway anywhere all the time. So at least it doesn't happen every single time, right?
Right.
Okay, got to turn your radio down just a little. There's a little kickback there. All right, what is the name of the person?
Go ahead.
Who is?
I think it was Gideon.
No, no, Mighty in Scriptures. So here's what you got to think. Mighty in the Scriptures. Now remember, you and I talked about this guy not that long ago. He's the one that Paul couldn't get to do what he wanted.
Apollos.
That is correct, sir. He was mighty in Scripture. That's what the Bible says, how it describes him in Acts chapter 18, verse 24. But that's good. Good attempt. That was a tough one. Very tough question.
Yeah, that was tough.
That was a tough one. All right, don't worry. I know you're coming back tomorrow for more, so don't you worry about it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, God bless.
God bless you too, brother.
All right. I love this. Their show's fun. I have more fun, I think, than most anybody. I probably have more fun than T. Although, if she had another 1,000 sounds, that might make it different, right?
I would be having a blast.
Yes. There's a lot of sounds you could toss in on a lot of different places. Okay, so the answer to that was Apollos. He was mighty in Scripture. Please don't forget HeMustIncrease.org, which we already played on. The only reason is because, it's the 13th, right? Okay. Ding dong. Time is up. Come on. Getting closer. Need some help. Everybody do the best you can. We appreciate that when you do. And you'll just get a receipt at the end of the year. I told my son, he didn't even hear the commercial yet, about, you won't get anything. He goes, you really wrote something like that? I went, yeah. He goes, what is wrong with you? Nothing. Spiritual observation time. We don't have a sound for that, but let's just follow this. Remember we just did Bazinga? I said silly sayings. All right, so follow this. Now, this is a little bit of teaching, so follow along with me. What happens when a Hollyweird show, that's right, I said Hollyweird, gets successful and gets too big for its britches? They attack God to justify their sinful lives to other men or something along those lines. So I want to enter the Big Bang Theory. I watched the Big Bang Theory. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. I just tune out the things that I think are stupid. But in one of the episodes, two startling remarks were made that were both blatantly anti-Bible and anti-Christian. So I'm going to pick them up and respond to them. And both the statements were from Sheldon. Okay? On the plus side, he did acknowledge in the show that regarding the Lord, it's inappropriate to have inappropriate sexual activity. Okay, good. But he also said the following, so let me help you out. Recent archaeological findings prove, according to Sheldon, that camels didn't exist during the time of the Bible, that the Bible says they did. And this was based on one group of animals found in a pack in a specific region at the time at about 1000 BC. And so the next statement was, these people of faith are believing a book of mythology. Bingo. That's when Dave gets mad right there. This is where the apologetics part just, screams. Number one, several scholarly professors dispute the overreaching findings of this archaeological dig. In other words, they did an archaeological dig, and they said there were no camels in the area at that time accordingly. And that was based on two archaeological professors who did a dig. And based on that, the show had the nerve to say the Bible is mythology. Multiple scholarly professors say that the entire paper and presentation was ridiculous. It's a huge leap to blanket a whole land as camelous at this time. So let me just help you out. The camel was not a domesticated animal, not like the horse or the mule. And that is well documented. But wealthy people had camels all the time. And Abraham, towards the end of his life, was extremely wealthy. Now watch this. The reason they're upset, the other people, is because they only found camels going back to 1000 BC, and Abraham was before that. However, there's always one of these. There is a cylinder seal dated 1800 BC. It's almost 800 years before these guys are saying happened, that shows people riding on a camel. So 800 years before these brilliant archaeologists got together and said there were no camels, it started at 1000 BC. 800 years before, there's a picture of people riding on a camel. And it's like, you people are nuts. And the two guys that published the paper, guess what, are anti-biblical scientists who were looking for money from the secular universities. So the only question that you really ever ask about these things is why? Why does Big Bang write us right into their script quoting these two archaeologists who were basically destroyed by their own peers. Why do they do it? Why are they writing that? Why are they saying the Bible is a myth? Because if they can mock the scriptures and make it look like a myth, right, then they don't have to be accountable for their actions. In other words, people try to just think about this is apologetics. Why do people want to prove the Bible wrong? Why? Okay, I get that. But why? It's because it helps them make them feel better about their sin. It's because if the Bible is true, they could be in trouble. It's because if the Bible is accurate, they're accountable, and they don't want to be accountable. And what people miss is you can get into the arguments back and forth on the archaeology, and you can fight as to, you know, which is this, which, but the deeper philosophical question is, why don't people want the Bible to be true? And that's because then there's a measuring standard or a plumb line by which they have to exist. And they don't want that. Now, we're of the faith, and we believe that God created the universe, which we believe, and he spoke into existence, which we believe, that he can write a book. Okay? And he tells us to watch everything with a careful eye. So we don't stop watching everything, but we watch everything and keep observing and we keep looking. But we love that there's a book. We love that because God communicates to us through that book how much he loves. And the people that are mad about it are, one, people who don't understand God, two, people who don't read the book, and three, they don't want to be told that they're in any kind of sin or they've done anything wrong. They just want to fly by the seat of their pants, and if it feels good, do it. And the problem with that is that just makes them children. Because you can't let your four-year-old do whatever your four-year-old wants just because it makes him feel good or just because it makes her feel good. Because that's immature. Maturity is going, I got to own this. And the reality check is these people that try to make the Bible nothing are doing it because they're children. And that's just, you can say all you want. You come up with all your, no, it's not scientific, no. And you just ask them, why don't you want the Bible to be real? Because it will ruin all my fun. And I have a ball and I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. You get it? The real question is, what drives that? And it's the desire not to be accountable. For me, accountability keeps my head on my shoulders. This is me. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.